It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown. Yes, I am in China right now, but you've got to hear my special guest host today, Steve Noble, Christian broadcaster, author, and oh, you got to hear the rest. Here he is.
Well, it's good to be back here in the guest host position for Dr. Michael Brown's Line of Fire show. And yesterday, boy, that was a hoot. We had a lot of fun yesterday, didn't we? I was able to connect with a lot of people on Facebook and on emails, which was really cool. So I appreciate you guys just playing along, although we're not really playing. But I think you know what I mean. When it comes to having somebody like, well, yours truly, guest host your show, just like on my show, which is on 5 days a week across the great state of North Carolina. Some of you are listening on the Truth Radio Network, and that's where my show resides. But we have a little saying on Call to Action Radio. We say there are no sacred cows, meaning we will not shy away from any issue, even if it's divisive, unless your goal is divisiveness. Of course, that's wrong, but things are divisive. It just happens, right? None of us agree pretty much on everything, except maybe a couple, gravity perhaps, and death and taxes. Other than that, you know, there's a wide variety of opinions, even within the body of Christ. For people that know and love the Lord, that study the Bible, we all come down on different places. And on the subject today, of course, wow, this one's going to be really interesting. Just like yesterday, we talked about fat pastors, which was not so much a condemnation of pastors in general, of course, and it wasn't going after fleshly things. It was all a matter of the heart. And the topic today, I think, for the first hour of the show is going to be the same. When it comes to church kids and dating, now I'm a father of four. I grew up going to church, but I did not know the Lord. I was not born again until I was 26. I'm 47 now. And on this particular subject, I definitely have a lot of baggage from my youth. I do not have, on the issue of dating, I do not have a testimony of righteousness. I have a testimony of regret. And odds are pretty good that a lot of you do as well. So when it comes to church kids and dating, you know what I say? No way. I think it is remarkably foolish, remarkably risky, remarkably unwise for church kids and teenagers. It starts remarkably young sometimes these days, doesn't it? And moms and dads and friends are kind of thinking it's cute that little Billy and little Sandy in the third grade are holding hands. And, oh, isn't that nice? And there is an age of innocence at which that is fine, you know, for the first several years. When does that stop? And it's different for different kids. For me, let me just tell you this. I think I was in the first or second grade living outside of Detroit, Michigan. I live in Dearborn. This was before it became a suburb of Iraq, unfortunately. But I was maybe it was first or second grade, and I had like a little bevy of girlfriends. Now, I'm tall. I have red hair. I don't think anybody would look at me and go, wow, you're really good looking, Steve. But I do have a good personality. Okay. And so I used that to my advantage. And I had like two or three or maybe four little friends that were girls at my elementary school. And I literally, in order to impress them, literally took to stealing some of my mom's costume jewelry and some pieces that somebody had made. We used to vacation out at this place in the mountains of North Carolina and had some homemade jewelry. And I would steal it and bring it to school and give it to these little girls so that I could impress them. And I was first, second, third grade. I mean, wow, that's psycho. And then throughout my life, you know, I didn't get saved till I was 28, got married at 26. So on this subject, I don't have a testimony of righteousness. Like I said, I have a lot of mistakes that were made there. And so a lot of that informs my position, but nowhere near as much as the Bible. So I say church kids dating, no way. But what do you say? 866-348-7884 866-34-TRUTH. We'll take your calls when we come back.
Oh God. flame. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble filling in for my buddy, my brother from another mother, Dr. Michael Brown, here on the Line of Fire. By the way, when it comes to church kids dating, and you might think that it's this really sweet, innocent thing, in the background somewhere in the world of reality, the theme music might sound something like, well, like this. Yeah. So you're thinking it's just cute and no big deal, and they need to get to know each other and they need to get out there and learn about the world and experience these things. Really? Really? Aren't we being a little too casual with the purity of our children, the purity not only of their bodies and their sexuality, but of their minds? Aren't we kind of just throwing down with the world? 866-348-7884. What do you think about church kids dating? I say, no way, but I'm really curious to see what you say. And we're not going to beat each other up. We're not going to get any major arguments here. We're going to have some disagreements, I'm sure, but we'll do it in a loving, caring, and conscientious way. After all, we're not talking about ourselves in most cases. We're talking about our children. 866-348-7884 is the number, or 866-34-TRUTH. Again, this is Steve Noble filling in for Dr. Michael Brown here on the Line of Fire and church kids and dating. Where am I going to go first? Let's go to New Jersey and Johan, you're on with Steve talking about Christian kids dating. What do you think about that?
Oh, yes. Thank you for taking my call. Well, you know, the problem is very, very simple. I mean, the solution for the problem is very, very simple. It's just like as you have, you know, discussed yesterday. I wanted to call, but I had other things. Let me give you first the solution that, as I see it, for the children. You know, we are not to be unequally yoked. And yet we let our children find a spouse from out the world, and the church is not really providing, you know, it's doing nothing for the children, you know, for in that case.
Yeah.
They could have a supervised website where all children believing members of the same denominations are located. And, you know, with the parent supervision, children could have a friendship and talk and discuss and at the same time have some kind of lesson on a website.
You mean, yeah, so online? Wow, I don't think that's a good idea at all, because how are you going to monitor that all the time, Johan, and you're on the website? And here's the other thing I think, and this is the problem with Facebook and texting, is that everybody has keyboard courage, and kids are going to say things on with a keyboard that they would never say face-to-face, so you even have even less self-control.
Well, you know, each time when they, if the child is, you know, a member of a particular denomination, it's no one outside the church is allowed to enter in. The pastor will give a special number as a key
Access. Let me ask you this question. So are you okay with Christian teens dating then? Is that your position?
Oh, yes. Why not?
Because Scripture says, Johan, in Proverbs, that desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. And then I would go primarily to the Song of Solomon. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you are not to stir up or awaken love until it's time. So what's a 12-year-old doing stirring up love in a relationship, Johan? How do you square that with Scripture?
Oh, I see. Oh, you are talking about the 12-year-olds.
12, 13, 14, 15, 16, you tell me. I'll include them all.
Oh, I see. Okay, even for that, I mean, they could be a solution. I am talking like Abraham provided for his son, you know, Isaac, a special place to go and do it.
Okay,
when
children
are of that age.
Yeah, I hear you. That's a great point, Johan, and I've got other callers here that I got to get to. And yes, if you're doing, now talk about getting radical, if you're going to do the parents choose the spouse, well, that's a whole nother show, Johan, but I think you know what I'm talking about. I mean, give them a website. I don't care if it's your denomination, another denomination. No way. the web's bad enough as it is, texting and Facebook, and you can't baptize that because you can't baptize a lack of self-control, and there's no way you can watch every kid all the time. I wouldn't go anywhere near that idea, although I do really appreciate you calling in. Johan, let's go to Phil, who's calling in from Pearl City, I think Hawaii. Phil, you're on the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. It's very interesting. The last gentleman mentioned Isaac, because I'll give you my testimony. I was raised a Catholic, and I had a relationship with God when I was a young man. But when I got to high school, I went to a public high school, and I tried the dating thing. My testimony very short. I got saved in college by reading the Bible. And one of the areas that it kept me from God was I was sweeping around and trying to make excuses to God that I'm only human and I wasn't experiencing God. So one night I just really cried out to God, and he showed me that that area in my life was keeping me from experiencing the love of God to the way I wanted to. And the very story he showed me, because I was always a stumbling block, was that I had to have a woman and I had to find a wife of my own strength. The very story of Isaac and Rebecca, that God had a wife for them, and that it was the Holy Spirit that led Abraham's servant to Rebecca, right? And then God had been stirring her heart. So I believe this already, that God had already been stirring her heart, that he had a husband for her, and God was always stirring Isaac's, that he had a wife for him, and in the right time, he brought the two of them together. And he showed me that the reason dating isn't right is because when you date somebody, you get connected to each other in your hearts. There's a bond made in the spirit with each other. But if you're not meant to marry that person, okay, then what happens is there's a soul tie made, and one of the two of you are going to get hurt. And when you go on to the next relationship, that soul tie, that thing in your heart is still connected.
Right, right.
So I had been living with a girl. We were supposedly were Christians. But when God started dealing with me about living holy and giving myself giving undistracted devotion unto the Lord, and that I couldn't be devoted to God if I was living with a girl and we're not married and we're involved, even though we were involved sexually, he went as far as to say even emotionally attached to this woman.
Sure.
So I talked to her, we split up, and I went to a church that God led me to, and I said, I'm just going to serve you, Lord, whatever capacity you give me, and I'm going to put this in your hands. And within a few months of me doing that, this one beautiful young lady came in, and she's part of the worship team. I'm worshiping God one day. I open my eyes, and she smiled at me, and I hear this thing say to my heart, that's going to be your wife.
Yeah,
and the first thought I had was, I rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. But then I kept volunteering for all these different things in the church, and it seemed like, unbeknownst to me, she was volunteering, and we kept getting put in the same
group. Did you marry
together.
Her, Phil? So, did you marry her?
I married her. We've been married for 29 years.
Amen.
I got 5 kids. This is a miracle. So I want to encourage
brother.
Christian young people, that if you give undistracted devotion to the Lord and you dedicate yourself to serving God in the way he's telling you to, he has a husband for you, he has a wife for you, he will bring the two of you together. You won't have to be brokenhearted. You won't have to break somebody else's heart.
Amen.
And you can be assured that your relationship is based on your relationship with Christ first. So when you go through the hard times of life, okay, the Holy Spirit is there to help you through it so you won't wind up getting divorced.
Amen.
And I want to thank you for giving me that time to share my testimony.
You're welcome, Phil. God bless you. Thank you so much. Preaching it all the way from the great state of Hawaii. What a tough place to be today. Yeah, let me just echo what Phil was saying, 2 Timothy 2:22. Wow, imagine this. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. Well, because you can't do both at the same time. 1 Corinthians 13:4, right at the beginning. Let's just stop at the beginning. Love is patient. Patient. That's why Solomon says, don't awaken it before it's time. Okay? Very serious business here. What an awesome testimony. I'm going to jump over real quick before we hit a break to Matthew calling in from Virginia. Matthew, you're on with Steve talking about kids, Christian kids dating. Go ahead.
How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you.
Real quick. First of all, we are called to protect our kids and watch over our kids. But marriage, people don't understand marriage. They think it's just a contract between two people, and then God's there just to bless it. It's a covenant between two people and God. They come together before God, and he joins them in flesh. Whether or not they go into the sanctity of a tent and consummate it, or they go to a hotel room or it's the backseat of a car, they become one flesh. They become joined. As a parent, we're to make sure that our sons, our daughters are offered up without blemish to the young man, to the young lady who we give them to in a contract between families, like they do in the Middle East.
Right, right.
If I go to give my daughter and she's already been, she's blemished, she's already been with somebody, then I'm defrauding that young man or that young lady if it's my son.
Right, right. Well, that's and Matthew, thank you for calling in. That's a great point. However, the challenge is you can't guarantee that as a father. That's why dating becomes a minefield that you throw your kids into if you're okay with it. 866-34-TRUTH. This is Steve Noble in for Dr. Michael Brown on the Line of Fire. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble sitting in for my friend, Dr. Michael Brown, here on the Line of Fire. And talking about church kids and dating for this hour. And what are you like into that? Is that cool? So your son has a cute little girlfriend, and you're like, oh, that's great. It's like he's got a little trophy wife for you. Or your daughter has a cute boyfriend, and he's on the, you know, he's on the Christian camp middle school basketball team. And you're like, oh, look at that. Isn't that so cute? It, you know, and it all sounds cute from a worldly perspective. But what about from a godly perspective? What about from a scriptural perspective, a biblical perspective? What about from God's perspective? Or maybe, I like this one. I found this one. Jesus approved Christian dating tips. Take that with a grain of salt. Christian dating tip number one. If you need your parents to drive you to a date, or if you need to ask them for money to take someone out, you shouldn't be dating. Now, I'm going to give a little amen to that one. But what do you think about this? Christian kids dating 11, 12, 13, 14. Listen, I've seen 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, church kids talking about, oh, my boyfriend, oh, my girlfriend, and mommy and daddy are kind of, oh, that's cute. Oh, it's so cute. Really? It's cute. It's cute. Maybe in our flesh, it's cute. But when you look at the easy path, the easy slide to sexual immorality, to breaking hearts. Listen, I have a youth pastor, a good friend of mine, and the first day I met him, we talked about this subject, and he said, I think a Christian kid's dating, it's just practice for divorce. That's all it is. I like you. I don't like you. I dump you. I replace you. I like you. I don't like you. I dump you. I replace you. That kind of sounds a little bit like the divorce court world these days, doesn't it? So what do you think about Christian kids dating? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Barbara, who's calling in from Long Island. Barbara, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve in the Line of Fire.
Oh, yes. My father told me to wait till I was 21 to date, and I should listen to him. I was raised Catholic. I broke the commandment, had a shotgun wedding. I was yoked to an unbeliever. I was not raised born again, never heard of them. But I knew the Bible, and I knew God in my heart all my life. Raised my daughter properly in the Lord. I do believe children, if they're supervised in youth groups. My daughter had met a boy that she was interested in for many years in the church, but she went to public school, and this boy, 3 years older than her, was interested in her, and so she decided she was going to go out. Now, I worked. My mother was supposed to be watching my daughter. Apparently, she didn't watch her. So I am not only a grandmother of 3 grown grandchildren, but I am a great-grandmother of 3 two grandchildren. And my oldest great-grandson is 3 and a half. My daughter has never married. She doesn't want to be left behind, but she knows the teachings of the Lord. But I'm estranged from all of my family because, unfortunately, I mean, they pointed the finger at me to come to the Lord, and I was the last one to come to the Lord. They all left, and I stayed. There's dissension in the family, and so there's a lot of problems. It causes a lot of problems because, you know, when you play favorites with children and try to be their best friend and everything, and I had to be mother and father because my husband took off, and I had to live with my parents, with my daughter. I raised her proper in the Lord. I gave her her talks that she needed to be you know, to be
sure.
proper and respectful on a lady. And to, I believe if they're supervised, and she used to go to the youth ministry, and the boy, she said, well, he was skinny and scrawny. Well, you know what happens with them. They grow up, they're 6 feet tall, they're muscle bound. He became such a hunk. He got married to a Christian woman, had a great life. And because she went to the public school and she went out with a popular boy and this, that, and the other.
Yeah, it's an easy downward slide, isn't it, Barbara?
Yes. And I, after my marriage, I said to God, like Ernest Angel, I was like, I need to just run amok for as long as it takes, because I did everything I was supposed to do, and until, you know, my and everything didn't, you know, work in my life. And
yeah, well, there's you know, and I appreciate
him,
your
I will come back.
Yeah, I appreciate your, Barbara, I appreciate your honesty there, and you're sharing a tough story, which I appreciate. But to Barbara's point, friends, and thank you so much for calling, Barbara. I've just got the lines are all filled up, so I've got to get other people a chance to talk about this. But there's huge ramifications. And so this is called selective ignorance, in my humble opinion. That you're saying, oh, everything's fine. It's no big deal. He's a scrawny kid. Well, they're innocent. Really? There's no such thing as innocence. There just isn't. Jeremiah nailed it right on the head, did he not? The heart is desperately wicked above all else. Who can know it? You think that you know, holding hands, no big deal? Go back to the day that you first, guys, held a girl's hand. Tell me that wasn't like a surge of electricity going through your body. At some point, that's exactly what it becomes. And you're going to think it's no big deal? Well, we're playing Russian roulette with our children's purity, their hearts, their minds, and their future. Not to mention the person that they would like to marry on down the road, assuming they're Christians. This is very, very serious business, which is why we're talking about it today. Let's go to Victor, who's calling in from Rock Hill, South Carolina. You're on the Line of Fire with Steve. Go ahead, Victor.
Hello. First of all, I like your show. And I just want to share a few things about myself. I dated my wife when she was 17, although I was I'm older than her. I was walking around with open eyes to find myself a mate, not just dating girls, but to find someone who I can marry. And after I decided that she's the one who I can marry, I started to date. We dated for a year.
How old were you?
I was 25.
Okay.
She was 17, and we have 7 years difference. So we dated for a year until she turned 18, then we planned for a wedding. Now, kids dating? No way. Absolutely no. Mike is raised. I believe that one thing is kind of maybe family matters a whole lot, how things are in the family.
Sure.
And also the clarity. We talk about it a lot, about anything openly since, I don't know, since they can comprehend. We can talk about anything, including dating, and we've been talking about it. And they are not tempted. The older son is 18, and they are standing their ground, and they are different at school, in public school. Because they are not dating. They're not cool this way. But they themselves strongly believe that this is wrong.
Yeah, and that's what
they're also sad about their friend
sure.
who are dating, because the dating involves, in the nowadays, in worldly view, including sex.
Sure.
Oftentimes. Not always, but oftentimes.
Yeah, oftentimes. That's a great point, Victor. And that, I appreciate you calling in. Thanks so much for sharing that. And that's his point. Listen, you raise your children up in the Lord in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Now, you can't guarantee that for yourself, but you plant the scripture in them, and that's not going to come back void. We know that. But there's his son and daughter out there in the public school providing a witness. It's also a great witnessing opportunity. It's also right there in the heart of the gospel that you have that opportunity to do it, but only if you live separately. But the primary reason to stay away from church kids, Christian kids dating, is not the witness. The primary reason is holiness. The primary reason is righteousness. The primary reason is a somber, sober assessment of our fallen nature. You take a boy, you take a girl, 12, 13, 14, 15. Hello. You know what that means. Stick them in a situation. All kinds of bad things can happen. We got plenty of stories inside and outside the Bible to prove that one. This is Steve Noble, Line of Fire. We'll be right back with a special report from Dr. Brown right after this break, talking about kids and dating. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I wish I could speak to you in Chinese, but I am here in Shanghai. It's been a remarkable 2.5 days with national Chinese leaders and American leaders, about 100 of us together. Really eye-opening, enlightening. I have a lot to share when I get home as well, and thinking about all of you every day. So thanks for praying. Thanks for standing with me. One funny thing that happened is a few people, Americans actually, at first thought I was part of the security team. I don't know if there is a formal security team, but because of my size, being a big guy, they thought I was part of the security. So I imagine on the Chinese end, sometimes we're on the elevator together, and there's a mirror on the front of the elevator when the door is closed. So I realize I'm a bit larger than most of the folks in the country here, but it's been a really, really fruitful, eye-opening trip. We travel over to Nanjing on the bullet train tomorrow morning. That's supposed to go a couple hundred miles an hour or something, and then a lot of historic things we get to see and be part of, even ending up in Beijing at the Great Wall and the Forbidden City and so on. So a lot to talk to you about, but the Friday broadcast we're going to be doing from China. You've got questions. We've got answers. We're going to answer your email questions on Friday. And then Monday, I've got Pastor Mark Driscoll, who will be joining me for the first half hour, so 2 to 2.30 Eastern Standard Time, talking about the Strange Fire Conference, talking about his Resurgence book and a number of other things. And then Tuesday, mark it down, get the word out. I'm going to have my second cessationist call-in day. I'm going to give folks an opportunity to give a case for the charismatic gifts of the New Testament having ceased. So Tuesday of this coming week will be cessationist call-in day. Anyway, with that, back to my guest host, Steve Noble. I understand he's staying completely away from controversy.
Yeah, you could tell that Michael Brown knows me fairly well. If I'm talking, odds are pretty good that it's going to be controversial one way or another. Great to hear from Michael. Continue to pray for him as the Lord leads him and uses him over there in China and then eventually India. And then he'll be back, which will be an awesome thing. Talking about dating, church kids dating, I want to get to Victor from the Bronx, good old New York City, before we come up on this break. Victor, we don't have a whole lot of time, but thank you so much for holding. I wanted to get you in here real quick, so go ahead and share what you've got.
Okay, good afternoon. God bless you and all your listeners. I just wanted to tell you real quick that I do agree with you 100% with what you are saying, 100%. But there's a flip side to that coin. As a 48-year-old, I do remember when I was a 12-year-old, and there are a lot of things that young children, teenagers, adolescents, they will do what they want to do even though their parents don't want them to do it, whether they're raised up Christians or not. So it's worse, I think, in the fact when you let them, when you deny them, and they do it behind your back. It's going to be a lot worse later. So the only thing that I can think of to just both sides be happy is the little group dating. A parent that has a minivan, take three little boys, three little girls, drop them off in the movie, and the next parent pick them up and bring them each home. Each individually, nobody going home by themselves, no time for them to be alone together, per se. You know what I'm saying? Even if a parent can sit in the back of the movie theater and keep their eye on what they're doing, that would be excellent. But if you demand that they don't do it, they do it behind your back, it's going to be a lot worse in the long run.
Right, which is a whole nother issue, Victor. Thanks for calling in. Which is a whole nother issue. First of all, there's no way I would drop them off at a movie theater at a young age, because that's an hour and a half to 2 hours in the dark. And yes, Steve, God, you're such a Puritan. I'm not a Puritan. I'm a realist. Now, again, let me go back to what I said at the top of the hour, at the beginning of the show. Listen, I don't have a testimony of righteousness on this subject. I have a testimony of regret. And I guess I'm kind of a cynic, because I really do believe what we read in Jeremiah's words, that the heart is desperately wicked above all else, and who can know it? So I'm like, I'm not gonna trust my heart as far as I can throw it. I'm not gonna trust my kids' hearts as far as I can throw them, no matter how well I've raised them in the Lord. At some point when they own it and they're living it out, okay. 12, 13, 14, forget about it. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll continue with your calls when we come back right after this.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. This is Steve Noble sitting in for my brother from another mother, Dr. Michael Brown, who we heard a great report from earlier and over there in China, the bullet train tomorrow. That'll be pretty cool. And that's, yeah, Michael Brown, in case you've never seen him or met him, he's a big dude. Yeah, we did the show yesterday on fat pastors. That's not Michael. The guy's pretty much rock solid, but he's a big, pretty imposing guy. You take Michael Brown, go throw him in China, and it's like the Hulk with minus the green. So I'm sure he's getting some interesting attention over there, which God will use. Wani, that's a pretty awesome thing. Today we're talking first hour about dating. Should church kids be dating? And again, I'm a realist here. There is a sliding scale. We said no way to my oldest son is 18 on the other side of the glass, produces my show, and my daughter's 15, and we were like hard and fast, not till you're 16, because neither my wife nor I thought that they could be mature enough to handle it, and we were waiting to see what kind of spiritual fruit's developing, how much self-control, how much is the world pulling at them versus God's word. And for my son, we were hard and fast, no way, but at 17, he went through what I would call a courtship, and we met with the parents, the other parents, we prayed together, and he would go to their house, and she would come to our house, and it was always together as a group. He was spiritually mature enough, he wasn't even going to drive her anywhere by himself, because he's aware of his heart. He's aware of the darkness, the potential darkness that is lurking there when it comes to this subject. But that's that, you know, I think he's abnormal, not because of me, because of God's grace. But you've got that situation. We're not talking about courting and everything at the right age. I'm okay with that. And sooner or later, you got to let people out, right? And at 16, 17, 18, okay, if they're spiritually mature enough, but if they haven't shown that kind of responsibility or that kind of growth, then you got to be much more paranoid about it. I'm talking more or less about 12, 13, 14, 15. Which is pretty common even here in the Bible Belt where I live. But what do you think about this? 866-348-7884. I'm going to go to David, who's been kind enough to stay on hold for a while. Calling from the great nation's capital, Washington, D.C. David, you're on with Steve in the Line of Fire. Go ahead.
Hello, Stephen. Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome.
What I would say is I think that it's really going to hurt our youth, our kids, for them to be dating. The other part is, I think the other caller mentioned too, is there's going to be a limit to what you can do to stop them, because even if you say no, there's things that they're going to do behind your back. But basically, you know, if they're trying to, if kids are, if we're trying to raise them up to live a covenant life, covenant, and have a covenant marriage, what's really the purpose of dating? We say the purpose of dating is getting to know somebody. Well, if you're trying to get to know somebody, you become friends with them. You don't need to start dating. The problem is, even as adults, we have a lot of problems trying to control our passion, our lust, and our desire. We're expecting the youth to be able to, which they haven't been given the tools, the resources, the knowledge, to be able to deny themselves. So when you get them in a situation where they're by themselves, they're talking, they're hugging, they're kissing, one thing leads to another. So we're setting them up for failure. So it's a landmine. You wouldn't send a soldier to war without first giving them the proper training. And we're not training the youth in terms of how to deny themselves. Fasting is a good way of learning to deny yourself.
Amen.
But there's a lot of things. And the society that we live in right now, especially with our youth, they're like the microwave society. They want things now, you know, fast food. They want, you know, they instant gratification. And with that kind of thought and mentality, trying to go into a dating situation, you're setting them up for failure. Even adults, as adults, we all struggle with a lot of these different things. So we can't expect our kids to do that. And they shouldn't be looking to date until they are established enough to be ready to get married. When they're, you know, approaching that point in their life when they're thinking about marriage is when you try to seek someone out. I think we should provide them a forum where, you know, they can gather around a lot of other Christians and get to know each other and create friendships. In Psalms, when you read through there, like most of verse 4, he says, "My sister, my bride." But we're not looking at our girlfriends first as our sister, because if we looked at them that way, we would cherish them, we would respect them, and we wouldn't look at them as an object. So we have to learn and teach our kids to look at, you know, females or the males, the girls, to look at the males as their brother first, more than, you know, a person that they're dating. That changes the dynamics of the relationship.
Absolutely, David. Yeah, that's a great point, David, and I appreciate you calling in. And these makes very sober minded. Some great points there. Now I'm gonna come against the assumption that kids are gonna do stuff behind your back no matter what. And I don't think he meant that. But I've heard this a couple times this hour. I don't assume that. I assume you raise them right, and they have an authentic relationship with the Lord, and when their moral and spiritual compass is set right, I'm not going to assume that they're going to blow me off and ignore me. I'm going to assume that they're going to follow the Lord first and follow their father and mother second until they give me a reason not to. Then I'll be all over them. But in this case, what a great point. You're going to send a soldier out into the minefield without telling him the mines are there. And then you send, don't worry about it. It's no big deal. It's nice. You're going to get out there sooner or later anyway. Listen, dating is the on-ramp to intimacy. There can be no intimacy without commitment. So if you're 15 and ready to get married, okay. But really, let's be honest here. That's not happening in most cases. Remember, dating is the on-ramp to intimacy. There can be no intimacy without commitment. And that is within the bonds of marriage. Okay? That's just the deal. You don't have a problem with Steve Noble on that one. You have a problem with God's word. Let's go to Jay, who's calling in from Manhattan. Jay, thanks for calling and waiting. You're on with Steve talking about dating. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. I really don't know much about dating because I have Asperger's syndrome, which is a form of autism. But have you ever seen the Cristiano film, Pamela's Prayer?
That does not ring a bell. Tell me about it real quick.
Okay, it's about a widower who runs a Christian film library who has a daughter, and he says to the daughter, you cannot date and you cannot kiss until you get married. And every night they would say a prayer that she would keep pure and safe, and the kids in school are laughing at her.
Yeah.
But what happens is she meets a boy who starts to work at her father's film library. And the father would escort them if they had to go any place. And later she marries the boy. But the thing is, the boy never kissed a girl in his life. And this is based on a true story.
Yeah, so is that a shocking thing? Listen, I mean, I did this thing called Passport to Purity with my son.
I don't think it's shocking at all. I mean, it's based on a true story.
Yeah,
and,
so it's possible.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. But it's a Christian film, a very well-known Christian film, Pamela's Prayer.
Pamela's Prayer.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that one up. Jay, thanks so much for calling in and sharing that with us. And now I'll embarrass my son on the other side of the glass. We did Passport to Purity a few years ago, which is a great program, by the way, for fathers and sons and mothers and daughters. And at the end of that, your child makes their decision about what they're going to do with purity and where they're going to draw the lines. Now, listen, if you're going to get into the teen dating thing and you're going to let your kids date, you know what the next conversation is, don't you? How far is too far? You're there. As soon as they're dating, you're in that conversation. If you're not in that conversation, I think you've just taken your irresponsibility to a whole nother level. But you're in that conversation. Now that you're going to date, son, let's talk about how far is too far. Now, you're just going to, it reminds me of, what was it, The Joker or something, one of the old Batman movies, talking about dancing with the devil by the pale moonlight. And am I sounding like a Puritan? Maybe so. But I think I'm just being biblical. I think I'm being sober-minded. And I think I'm pursuing righteousness and holiness on the part of my children. So back to my son. Here's was his decision, which I had to pull over and find a parking lot because I was on the verge of weeping. So he decides, to Jay's point, sharing about that movie, that and to see if he remembers this because he's on the other side of the glass, that he wanted to save his first kiss, like a kiss on the lips, for the altar. The altar. He's at four. I think you were 14 or 15 at that point. And I was sitting there going, now, is he just telling me what I want to hear, or does he really mean it? He meant it. Now, I sit there, and in my flesh, I thought, yeah, good luck with that, buddy. But that's because of my history, where I have a testimony of regret rather than a testimony of righteousness. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, he can absolutely do it. He stayed true to that for 4 years, as far as I know, right? Am I looking at him right now? Yep, he's telling me the truth. And is he going to see it through to the altar? Yeah, he says he is, and I wouldn't be surprised if he got married in college. That's a whole nother show. But listen, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can deny yourself. You can pursue holiness and righteousness. And the thing that blew me away and why I had to pull over in the car and cry when I told him this, because I had to tell him at that point, listen, Hayden, you're going to be, if you do that, God willing, if you do that, you're going to give your wife a present that I have never been able to give your mom. And that was the least of the presents that I could never give his mom. That he was going to give his wife. And Hayden's been raised differently than I was raised. And I just had, and I continue to just praise God for that. And I go, wow, see, it's possible. The years that the locusts had eaten, which I pretty much hand fed them, God was renewing and replacing in my own walk with the Lord, but also in my oldest son. And so take heart out there that through the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're living it out as best as you can as a parent through consistent, ongoing, loving as possible teaching, that we can raise a generation that can say no to the world and can even say no to their flesh. I have I know of a pastor up in Philadelphia, Buster Sorries, a black pastor, and they asked him to come on to Oprah Winfrey's show once, and he was going to come on and talk about abstinence, and they knew his position, and he says, "Are you sure you know what I talk about?" So he sent them some tapes, and they looked at it, and they called him back, and they said, "I'm glad you told us, because we don't really believe what you're telling people, that you can actually refrain from having sex." Of course, Buster knew that Oprah had a little doggy. He said, "Does her dog pee all over the house?" Well, of course not. So you can train a dog not to pee? But you can't train a human not to have sex. Ridiculous. Steve Noble, Line of Fire. We'll be right back to finish up this hour right after this. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble filling in for my buddy, Dr. Michael Brown, here on the Line of Fire, which has just been a great pleasure. By the way, hour number two coming up, how to avoid holiday family feuds. If you take Thanksgiving plus Christmas plus your extended family, what do you get? So for a lot of you, that's going to be not such a pretty picture. So you're going to spend the holiday season between now and New Year's hollering at your family members, or are you going to be healing? Are you going to be taking Christ's place and living that out at the Thanksgiving table, or are you going to be the deceiver and the divider? And so we're going to be talking about that with my friend Tim Sellers of Peace Point in the next hour. So for those of you that don't get the show in the second hour, please go to the website. Just go to Line of Fire, or actually AskDrBrown.org. You can pick up the live feed there, because this is something that we all need to be equipped for when it comes to the holiday season. So that I always ask, often friends of mine that I'll ask, they're in a tough situation and you know, maybe they're complaining about it or whatever. And I'll say, okay, let me ask you a question. Who's going to be Jesus in that situation? Because pretty much if it ain't you, it's not going to be anybody. So what are you going to do in order to be Jesus in that situation? Because I'm pretty sure if you act like Jesus in that situation, you're going to be doing some healing rather than some hollering. So make sure you join us on the second hour. Tim Sellers at Peace Point. It's already in the studio, so he'll be joining with me on air when we hit that. So go to AskDrBrown.org if you need to pick up the live feed. You got to hear that. We all need those tools to deal with what's coming up this season. I'm going to jump real quick here as we finish up the show. I'm going to go to Bruce, who's calling in from Maryland. Bruce. Oh, we lost Bruce, which is a real bummer because he's been holding for a while. Please forgive me, Bruce. That totally stinks. Let's go to John calling in from Queens. John, you're on with Steve. Go ahead. John, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
You hit me, baby. Let's go.
Hello?
You're good. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, well, basically, I don't believe in dating. And just as how in Scripture, Yahweh gives the command unto Moses, to Abraham to circumcise himself. And circumcision is of great importance from a biblical perspective in relation to how men ought to carry about themselves. And the penis is that which is a life continual, and it's a covenant Yahweh made with Abraham. And the onus is on the man to continually have his mind focused on the Creator. For right. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, he said, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength." And in the Hebraic language, it corresponds the mind, the heart, and soul relate to the prepuce or the foreskin.
I think I'm following your point there, John, because, you know, the call of circumcision is to be set apart. That's to be marked and set apart. And the world says date. It says date all the time. I mean, listen, from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed, you're assaulted. The very atmosphere of life in the 21st century, especially in America and the Western world, is sex. That's the atmosphere. It's in the atmosphere. It's like you're breathing it all day long. I'm 47. When I was 17 or 15 or 12, there weren't nearly as many on-ramps to my heart as there are today. And the scriptures tell us, right, that you have to guard your heart because out of it flow the issues of life. So we don't, you're out there dating, you're not guarding your heart. You're practicing for divorce, and you're setting yourself up for failure. And as parents, we're supposed to be good stewards of these children that aren't ours, by the way. They're the Lord's. He created them. And we got to be really careful of that. Let's go to Eileen, who's calling in from New Jersey. Thanks so much for holding, Eileen. You're on with Steve in the Line of Fire talking about dating. Go ahead.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing today? Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Cool.
You're welcome.
I just want to say I dated and I kept my purity till I was 30. My friends did not. They're all married and I'm still single. And I see a lot of kids today in youth groups, whatever, who are having more sex than I ever did, even when I was 30. So I commend your son. I hope he can maintain his commitment to purity. I have three girlfriends who had three daughters, all raised in nice Christian schools, all had babies out of wedlock.
Wow.
So all I can say is good luck to you. 12, 15, or 14-year-olds do not belong to the baby. I agree with you that shouldn't be hanging out at the movies because it's dark and things happen. My girlfriend just went off at the mall, and they go and they make out. That's what they do at that age.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's and Eileen, thank you so much for sharing that. And by the way, God bless you. God does call some people to singleness. Now, that doesn't mean Eileen can't still get married. But imagine what he can do with your time when you're not pouring it into somebody else. If that's what he calls you to, that's an awesome thing. But yeah, you know, you got to remember this. Let me put it this way. So you take your 12 or 13 or 14-year-old over to, let's say, Toys R Us. Or maybe it's the Apple Store. And you say, go on into the Apple Store, and I'll catch you back here in an hour. Do you think there's going to be anything in there that might, I don't know, interest them? Anything in there that might draw their attention? Now you give them your credit card. Now go on into the Apple Store, Johnny, and by the way, here's my credit card. However, which gives you the ability to purchase, but don't do it. Don't do it. Don't buy anything because you shouldn't. But I'm giving you the opportunity. I'm enabling you, but don't buy anything because that would be wrong. Now, is that loving to do that to your child? Are you loving them well? I think you're exasperating them. And I seem to recall reading in some book somewhere that fathers are not to exasperate their children. And that would be exasperating. And again, I'm coming at this and I'm pretty hard on this subject because unfortunately I do not have a testimony of righteousness on this one, especially as a young person. I have a testimony of regret. And I also am very sober-minded about the nature of our sin. I teach high school age homeschoolers, this is my second year doing it, all about civics and our formation of government, our type of government, and our founding fathers understood the notion of human depravity, and that power corrupts, and that people are likely to do the wrong thing if given the chance. So we need to get over kind of our selective ignorance when it comes to our children. Oh, they're our kids. Like earlier, the lady from Long Island said, these three kids that grew up in Christian schools and all three of them had children out of wedlock. Hey, just because your kids are growing up in Christian school doesn't mean anything. Don't assume anything with that. You go stand in a garage, do you become a car? Of course not. Don't assume anything. Be very sober-minded. We have to be very sober-minded. And don't think that it's you know, I was a kid once. The world's a little different now than it was when you were a kid and when I was a kid. It's way worse. It's way more toxic. It's way easier. And now you throw into their Facebook and texting and Snapchats and all that garbage. You hear all the stuff about sexting. Oh, man. So do you lock them up in a little room? No. You have to train them in the way they should go. You have to bring them up in the way they should go. And you have to have these conversations, these tough conversations all the time. And being sober-minded, like I keep saying, to say, listen, you're going to get in a situation. And when Hayden, my son, finally went to a homeschool dance. You know, I said, now listen, if you guys have a slow dance or you hold hands, be ready. And he was, again, you know, this was 17 and a half coming up on 18. Be ready because I think you might be shocked at the electricity you experience in that moment. And in that moment, I want you to remember these conversations we've had. And you just see whether you're playing with fire or not. I'm looking at the glass. Was I right or was I wrong? You were right, Dad. Oh, look at that. It happens every once in a while. Yeah. And so you don't just throw them in there, friends. That's not good stewardship. So we have to hold the line on this one for the Lord first, for our children second, for our witness third. It's really, really important because you can't get it back. You get on that on-ramp, you get on that highway, you give away your purity, you give away parts of your heart every time. You can't get it back. Does God restore in a certain way? Of course. Does he forgive? Of course. But you can't get it back. Stand the line for your kids. This is Steve Noble sitting in for Dr. Brown. Tomorrow, Frank Turek, who's going to be awesome. What a great apologist. It's been wonderful to be with you. Check me out on Facebook under Steve Noble or my website, c2atoday.org. Hopefully we'll do it again. God bless you.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown. Yes, I am in China right now, but you've got to hear my special guest host today, Steve Noble, Christian broadcaster, author, and oh, you got to hear the rest. Here he is.
Thanks, Michael. It's Michael Brown's there in China this week, and I'm sitting in for him yesterday and today, which has been awesome. 3 hours of radio. I'm on the big porch with the big dogs. But you know what? It's really not. People are like, Steve, gosh, what are you going to do? Because I do my radio show 5 days a week on the Truth Radio Network across North Carolina. Then picked up Michael's show for a couple hours leading up to that. And wow, yeah, gosh, that's going to be tough. You know what? When you're in your sweet spot, when you're doing something that the Lord has enabled you to do, there's things that you have to do. There's some work involved. But believe me, I don't feel like I'm working hard. I don't feel like I'm trying to push a square peg through a round hole, because I'm doing, I think, what God designed me to do. And it's just a huge blessing. So let me just say thank you to all of you listening right now onto the show here with Line of Fire, Dr. Brown. And thank you to Dr. Brown for letting me have the privilege and the honor of talking about it. So you got a week from tomorrow, right, is Thanksgiving. So you're going to have, of course, you'll have food. Food will definitely be there. We talked about fat pastors in the first hour yesterday, so we're not going to broach that subject again. You're going to have food. You're going to have probably football. We usually have football on Thanksgiving. And then you're going to have the third part of that whole trifecta, which is family. Now, when we talk about family coming over, or you going to family on Thanksgiving, I think for most of us, that's either a really pleasant thing or it's a potentially unpleasant, if not downright painful. So you have Thanksgiving, and then we have Christmas, and then we have New Year's right after that. So we've got all this potential for trouble. So are you going to spend the holiday season with your family, with friends? Are you going to spend it hollering, or are you going to spend it healing? Well, when it comes to pursuing peace, which is, by the way, a scriptural mandate, none better than talking to our friends at Peace Point. Tim Sellers has been with the show before. They're a great partner on the Truth Radio Network and on my radio show called The Action. Tim Sellers, Peace Point, welcome back.
Good to be here.
It's good to have you. This is a difficult subject for a lot of people.
It is, and unfortunately, it's one that is all too seldom addressed. Other types of conflict we're more willing to engage. This is one that often gets swept under the rug.
Well, I think one of the things we look at, and when we talked about this the other week, we're going to come at this from a slightly different perspective, because if we've got these limited engagements or incursions, if you want to call them that, with our family over the holiday season, and what should we be trying to accomplish in those times together? Because I think there's, for us guys especially, there's the Mr. Fix-It issue. And we want to get in there and try to resolve all this stuff when we walk into this situation. Is the Thanksgiving table or the Christmas around the Christmas tree, is that the time to be trying to fix everything, Tim? Or what should our goal be?
Well, I think one of the challenges is that this type of conflict often is brought to the surface in the limited engagement, in the time where we gather at one home or another for a short period of time. And there's often a lot of thinking about it in advance, and sometimes stewing on it.
Yeah.
And so we're inclined to approach it, if we're concerned about it, thinking, what can I do in the 2 or 3 or 4 hours sometimes that we're together? And often that's a prescription for disaster, because we're trying to take conflict and stick it in a microwave, like a lot of other things in our culture, when really conflict that's dealt with thoroughly is more of a slow cooker process, so that things begin to fall off the bone. That takes time, but there are constructive things that we can do and prepare ourselves to do at these opportunities.
Yeah, and that's really the point of what we're going to be doing as we unfold the show today, because when we had this conversation the other week, you know, back to the basics for us as followers of Christ. We're going to talk about love, we're going to talk about grace, and we're going to talk about faith and how to integrate all three of those things into what many people are going to be facing in the next several weeks, which is these limited engagements with our family, which for a lot of people, man, I think sometimes, Tim, that's the place where we act like Christ the least when we should be acting like Christ the most. We're here with Tim Sellers from Peace Point, peacepoint.com. We're going to keep talking about what you can do to get ready for the holiday season to be more like Jesus and less like, I guess, maybe yourself. This is Steve Noble sitting in for the Line of Fire. We'll be right back.
Give us strength to all
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble sitting in for my buddy, Dr. Michael Brown, my brother from another mother, affectionately called. And are you looking forward to this holiday season? We're not doing the show on Happy Holidays versus Merry Christmas, but are these going to be happy holidays for you, or are they going to be unhappy holidays? I think, unfortunately, for many of us, Christians and unChristians alike, that we have all kinds of problems when it comes to Thanksgiving, and you're like, oh, gosh. Well, we're going to go to so-and-so's house, and I'm just going to try to get out of there without yelling and screaming. Just try to survive it. And I don't think that God calls any of us to just survive. He calls us to thrive. But that's not very easy to do, especially with family and close family and extended family. So today we're talking about how to avoid holiday family feuds, and not just to avoid trouble, but actually try to promote peace, as we're called to do through the scriptures. Tim Sellers is here, the founder of Peace Point, peacepoint.com, which is an excellent, excellent, incredible ministry, very, very needed in our world, pointing people to peace with God and others as we talk about how to avoid family feuds and how to have a happy holidays rather than an unhappy holidays. Tim, thanks for being with us again.
Yeah, good to be with you.
And so what should our mindset be? Because we're not just thinking in terms of, well, let's avoid all the potholes on the road. We're actually trying to do something productive here. So what should our mindset be, Tim, as we approach this holiday season with family and friends?
Well, I think one of the things that gets us off track and into the ditch is our inclination to try and find something specific to go do. And we go and do those things with the same attitude, the same motivations, the same perspective that we had that was causing potentially the problem in the first place. And so where we have to start is where God always starts, with the heart, with the mind, how we're looking at things, our perspective on things, our commitment toward the people that we're going to encounter rather than what we're going to do or not do to try and go and fix it. And that gets back to some basics that I think all too often we just give a head nod to: love, grace, faith, those things, and walk by them. Right. When they are the central core in changing relationships.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You go, well, love and grace and faith. Yeah. I get that. But right. What am I going to do next Thursday?
Right. Well, the problem is that we really don't get it in many cases. And I'm here to say that in situations that I'm involved in, I'm inclined not to get it. It's a whole lot easier to look into someone else's situation and say, oh, you need to understand, love is the way here. And certainly the scripture makes it very clear. It is the way. It is the preeminent mark and characteristic of the disciple of Jesus Christ. And yet we will walk by it and start to go to the things to do, carrying the same motivations and the same attitudes, when we need to step back and refocus ourselves on those people, and also on first, on the Lord Jesus Christ and how he has loved us.
Yeah, because oftentimes we're facing these situations next week or Christmas, and our eyes are on everybody else's speck of dust, and we want to talk about that and plan for that, but we don't really want to deal with the plank in our own eyes. But of course, Christ calls us to deal with that first and foremost. Doesn't even want us to give him anything if we have something against our brother. Hey, set your stuff down and get out of here until you go reconcile, because reconciliation is the shadow of the gospel. It is what it is. And in this case, it's difficult. So let's start with love. Let's start with kind of the big one that I think we gloss over. You know, I love Twizzlers. I love movies. I love being on the radio, but that's not what we're talking about.
Well, and that gets to the complete misunderstanding that so many of us hold, and so many of us find ourselves slipping into when we start thinking about what love is. Love is a very aggressive thing. Mm. It is an active thing. And it is not anything, truly, genuine love is not something that is connected to my personal affection or my affinity for you. Because if we look at the love that God has for us, that prompted him to send his son to die for us, it was an absolute relentless commitment that he was going to do what was in our best interest, what we needed. And that took focus that he was willing to put to make that decision. And it's the same kind of focus that we need going into these relationships. What does that person need the most so that I can be, as you mentioned earlier, Jesus to them?
Yeah, because isn't it shocking? We sit there and go, but this guy Tim from Peace Point, you don't know my mother-in-law. You don't know my brother. You don't know my cousin. And you have that attitude. And I would just ask the listeners out there that are thinking like that right now, which, listen, I appreciate and can understand where you're coming from. But let's just imagine for a second if God had that attitude.
Well, and I think we sometimes think, maybe genuinely, that God's shocked if he really knew what my mother-in-law was like, what my spouse was like, what my brother was like, or my cousin was like, when, of course, he knows everything about them.
Sure.
And he knew everything about us when, while we were
yet
still sinners.
Amen.
He sent Christ to die for us. And it's that model that we have. That's love, is to have that same perspective going into these situations, that we're going to aggressively and relentlessly seek out what's best for them. And he does know how that person is. And he's not calling us to something that if we get into it, he's going to say, oh my goodness, I had no idea you were dealing with that.
Yeah.
He said it knowing exactly what would be dealing with, because he's dealt with us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Christ, too, who's walked a mile in our shoes. So next week, as we approach Thanksgiving, let's put some feet to this notion of love.
Right.
How do we begin to kind of live that out next Thursday all day? How do we love our families in a way that honors Christ?
Well, I think that a good place to start, and it's one that any one of us can do, is to sit back and soak on the love of God for us. Mm. Because I think the scripture is clear that to the extent we understand the depth of his love for us, the scope of his forgiveness for us, that's when we become more loving and we become more forgiving. If I start with what's inside of me and decide I'm going to love that person, I'm already behind the eight ball. I've got to start with God's love for me and an understanding and appreciation of that when I didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
If I'm going to have the ability to let that, and that's truly what we want to flow through, is God's love to flow through us to our family members, who should be some of the closest people to us, the people that we can rely on in the toughest of situations, to allow that love to flow through. So it's a refocusing, in my view, first on the love of God and that he has for us and has shown us in so many ways, to allow that to flow through, and then to decide, how does that look in real shoe leather, if you will,
right,
with my family and in this event?
Yeah, so between right now at 3:14 Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday, November 20th, and next Thursday morning, the number one thing that we should be doing, if we want to love well and reflect Christ well on Thanksgiving Day, meditating in God's Word, stewing in God's Word, reading God's Word, praising and worshiping God.
Yes, soaking on the Lord, soaking on the truth of his word, so that our whole attitude is permeated by that. And it colors and shapes everything that we do and say. Because that's what the scripture says. The intent is for us to be transformed,
right,
so that we look like Jesus. Well, if I just decide I'm going to try to do that, then I've got a rough road ahead. I need to allow the Spirit to work through me, and that takes that focus, that devotion, that time. So those things that we sometimes don't like, those spiritual disciplines of, oh my, it comes back to that repeatedly, because that's the key to change.
Well, most people listening to us right now, dare say, are probably carnivores. They like steak. They eat meat. Yeah. Well, showed me this a couple weeks ago, Tim. I was at a Bible study, and we were talking about meditating on God's Word, and I switched it from meditation to marination. So if you're going to marinate a piece of meat, and you want it to really have the flavor of that marinade, do you do it for 10 minutes? Well, you could, but you're not going to get much penetration there.
Right.
Do you do it for 30 minutes? Well, you could, but you're not really. You marinate a piece of meat for 3, 4, 5 hours? And it's going to have the desired taste, and I think that's probably what you're talking about.
Well, I am, and the thing is, it takes time.
Yeah,
and I hear of people saying, "I'm concerned about next week. I've got these issues. We never get along. I'm just going to go and see what happens."
Oh man,
no preparation. So as we talk about these key attitudes, perspectives, motivations of love, an attitude of grace, a perspective that has faith in God, that takes preparation to soak on that, to focus on that, and then to allow that to shape our decisions as to how we interact.
So for marinating in God's Word, in order to get our love compass, I'm just going to use that phrase, get our love compass pointed on true north, what else can we do to really foster that loving environment, that accurate reflection of Christ as we approach next Thursday?
Well, and I think it's not just trying to focus on what things that people would say are very abstract, but also to think specifically about the people that are involved. If there's a cousin, then really think about, what are the trigger points there? You know, when we're talking about our brothers in Christ, and Paul is writing about, he talks about don't make them stumble.
Yeah.
Even if there's things that you can do that are perfectly lawful, don't make them stumble. How much more important is that when we're going in to be with our family and we know that this sets someone off? We may be inclined to say, but I have a right to do that. Well, but our rights are not what's at issue here.
Right.
It's what is right for that person in this situation. And that takes some specific thought. And when you were talking about who is going to be Jesus, sometimes I ask people two questions when we're faced with these kinds of things. I say, well, in this event, what would you do if Jesus was there? And they will tell me. And then I say, well, my second question is, are you going to do something different since he will be there?
Wow.
And then you start seeing people struggle a little bit with it because it's a penetrating question.
Yeah, it's a very penetrating question. And the challenge is not usually what we know.
Yeah.
It's what we do with what we know, which is why we're revisiting love, grace, and faith with Tim Sellers of Peace Point, peacepoint.com. You're going to find out more about how Peace Point can serve you and how you can serve your family next week and on Christmas when we come back after this.
Of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble sitting in for my good friend, Dr. Michael Brown. I'm the host of Call to Action Radio on the Truth Radio Network, Monday through Friday. Facebook, you can find me there under just my name. I'm not some big pontificating blowhard that, you know, lives in a giant house and flies around in a jet. I'm just a normal guy. Dr. Brown, for example, is a brilliant theologian, been in ministry for decades. I would call Dr. Brown, he's like the voice from the pulpit. Me, Steve Noble, I'm like the view from the pew. I'm a lot more like my audience than I am a lot of the big time talk show hosts, and God bless them all because God uses all of them. But for me, I'm usually more the one in the crowd. Okay, my view is from the pew. I'm a father. I have a wonderful wife. I've been married for 21 years, 4 great kids, homeschooler, bills trying to pay, you know, financial stress, all the same stuff that most of you guys have. And but God's given me this gift of exhortation and getting out and I'm pursuing my master's degree in ethics at Southeastern Baptist. So I'm not walking into a knife fight with a toy pistol. I'm walking in with a pretty good gun. But that's really because of the Holy Spirit. So that's always the way we come at things on my show and here on in the Line of Fire as well. I'm here with Tim Sellers today of Peace Point. Peacepoint.com is the website pointing people to peace with God and others. And we're talking about how to avoid unhappy holidays as we deal with family and extended family next week and again at Christmas and really getting back to basics, talking about love and grace and faith and how we incorporate those, what they mean biblically and how we incorporate those into the upcoming holiday season. But before we do that, Tim, just kind of give us the 411 real quick on Peace Point, because a lot of the folks on Line of Fire and Dr. Brown's audience aren't familiar with it.
Well, Peace Point was formed back in the late 1990s out of a commitment that God's Word is the answer to reconciling conflicts and resolving disputes. He doesn't leave us out there wondering how we're going to deal with these very difficult circumstances. But because we're not taught that very well at homes, we try and avoid it a good deal of the time. It's not a subject that's engaged, and yet it is something that can be terribly damaging if we don't approach it in a God-honoring way. So my involvement with the beginnings of Peace Point was came out of a conflict that I was involved in and some deep pain and hurt and wounds that literally drove me to say, we need to understand what God says about this, and we need to be communicating that and equipping people so that they can reconcile their conflicts, resolve their disputes. But it goes beyond that to promoting unity among the people of God, which will change the world. So Peace Point Ministries is, we have peace advocates available to talk with you, to try and help you potentially, if we can bring everybody together in a mediation kind of context, mediation and arbitration. But beyond that, we try and provide resources that are available through our website 24/7 for, you mentioned you're the guy in the pew. That's who we want to put tools and resources in the hands of.
Amen.
So that you can get those and see in the real situation I'm dealing with, what would God say? because he doesn't hide the ball from us. He wants us to understand those truths because they're powerful.
Yeah, they are powerful and they're life-changing. It's peacepoint.com. By the way, if you're in the middle of a conflict right now, it might be a church conflict, it might be a family conflict, it might be with business, and you need help. You're at the end of the rope. You don't know what's going on. As long as you're open to reconciliation and the other party as well, get to peacepoint.com as soon as you can. I'm also going to give you their phone number right quick because I know there's some of you out there listening because this is a big audience around the country. You're listening and you're like, you know what? That's me. So I'm going to tell you to do something that I rarely do. I want you to turn off the radio as soon as I give you this phone number, and I want you to call the phone number. Okay, because if you don't do it now, odds are you won't do it. The heart is desperately wicked, all right? It's called human depravity. So 704-945-4900. I'll say it one more time. 704-945-4900. So you can get some help because you are an ambassador of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is all about reconciliation, or peacepoint.com. So go do that now if you have to, and feel free to blow us off for the rest of the hour. Love. So we talked about kind of getting our compass set straight by revisiting love as we learn from God's word, and we can meditate on that and like I said, marinate in it. And now you were mentioning, Tim, identifying the people that we're going to be with and actually kind of making a little love target list, if you will, of how am I going to love these people well? Do we worry about ourselves in that one?
I think we have to worry about ourselves and our hearts and our perspectives, because we're inclined to justify our particular situation and to run around to people and tell them the story with our spin on it to try and get supporters and encouragers to line up with us. So acknowledging that, prepare. Think about it. Write it down. This may seem very, very unnatural, but what we're talking about is very unnatural to love like God loves has loved us. So write those things down and then get someone who's trustworthy, who loves you enough to be willing to tell you the truth, to check you about what you're thinking, who would be willing to say, think about that. Is that the way to approach it? Is that going to be received well? If this is important enough for it to consume so much of your life, then it's important enough to spend that time to be very specific in how that's going to play out, or how you'd like to play out as far as you're concerned, insofar as it depends on you to live at peace this holiday.
Yeah. So you could actually write down people's names, and maybe I would write down the things that I know that I can do that upset them unnecessarily, and then write down the things that I can do to bless them.
Exactly.
And so they go, yeah, all right, this is I'm setting up the guidelines so that I can represent and love well. Another component on love, when we actually get to that day, how do we incorporate that into that day?
Well, when we go into that day, we need to steel ourselves up with it. Not just go in with a, well, we'll see what happens sort of attitude. And so when we go into anything else that's important, mentally we prepare ourselves and prepare ourselves well for what might come back. Because this is not a prescription necessarily for everything to go just perfectly and for people to be changed. What we're talking about is to be an instrument of change in that situation. It may not happen at that point in time. So I may need to go in prepared for the response that I'm going to get, prepared for the first words that may come out of someone's mouth that are going to be barbs, that are going to be darts, to stand firm and to put on all of that armor. And we're going to talk about one of those in just a minute, which is the breastplate of faith that we have to protect ourselves. So go in steeled up for what may happen.
Yeah, and we have to, I mean, for me especially, because I know myself well enough that I always come back to this, and I parent this way: slow to anger, slow to speak, and quick to listen.
Right.
And I know when I'm in my sin, I'm doing the exact opposite. So before I'm pressing that doorbell, I'm sitting there saying, all right, Lord, help me remember, slow to speak. Slow to anger and quick to listen, because, you know, let's just assume that it's not going to go well all the time. But at least you're doing your part. The second part of all this, love, obviously huge and the base of all of it. But grace next. Introduce grace before we hit the break.
Well, when we're talking about grace, we are talking about, in very, very simple terms, a conscious decision to give people what they do not deserve.
Wow.
Exactly what they do not. Out of love, I'm going to do what's best for them when nothing about this situation, nothing about the way I've been treated makes them deserving of that. Again, modeling exactly what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't deserve it. He came and he died for us. And so he says, be like me when you go into this situation. I'm not asking you to die. I'm just asking you to keep your mouth closed.
Yeah.
I'm just asking you to respond with gentle, gracious words. You know, in the scripture, gracious is used most often with words.
Wow. How about that? And that's where we get ourselves in trouble come Thanksgiving, come Christmas, is the things that come flying out of our mouths. Go read the book of James. You'll have a lot of fun with that. Right. This is Steve Noble with Tim Sellers from Peace Point. We're going to have a special report from Dr. Brown right after this break, and then we'll pick it up talking about avoiding unhappy holidays.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I wish I could speak to you in Chinese, but I am here in Shanghai. It's been a remarkable 2.5 days with national Chinese leaders and American leaders, about 100 of us together. Really eye-opening, enlightening. I have a lot to share when I get home as well, and thinking about all of you every day. So thanks for praying. Thanks for standing with me. One funny thing that happened is a few people, Americans actually, at first thought I was part of the security team. I don't know if there is a formal security team, but because of my size, being a big guy, they thought I was part of the security. So I imagine on the Chinese end, sometimes we're on the elevator together, and there's a mirror on the front of the elevator when the door is closed. So I realize I'm a bit larger than most of the folks in the country here, but it's been a really, really fruitful, eye-opening trip. We travel over to Nanjing on the bullet train tomorrow morning. That's supposed to go a couple hundred miles an hour or something, and then a lot of historic things we get to see and be part of, even ending up in Beijing at the Great Wall and the Forbidden City and so on. So a lot to talk to you about, but the Friday broadcast we're going to be doing from China. You've got questions. We've got answers. We're going to answer your email questions on Friday. And then Monday, I've got Pastor Mark Driscoll, who will be joining me for the first half hour, so 2 to 2.30 Eastern Standard Time, talking about the Strange Fire Conference, talking about his Resurgence book and a number of other things. And then Tuesday, mark it down, get the word out. I'm going to have my second cessationist call-in day. I'm going to give folks an opportunity to give a case for the charismatic gifts of the New Testament having ceased. So Tuesday of this coming week will be cessationist call-in day. Anyway, with that, back to my guest host, Steve Noble. I understand he's staying completely away from controversy.
If Steve Noble were staying completely away from controversy, Steve Noble would not be hosting the show. Dr. Michael Brown knows that. But today, as we talk about avoiding unhappy holidays with Tim Sellers from Peace Point, and this is really, you think about it, this is controversial because generally, this is what we think about. It's all about me. So when I walk into Thanksgiving next week, you know, I got they're going to do this to me and they're going to do that to me. And we we're such good little idol factories, our hearts are. And that's the problem with it. And we go in there thinking about ourselves and what they're going to do to us as opposed to what we can do for them, which, of course, is the mind of Christ himself when you start thinking like that. Because like Tim said earlier, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it doesn't matter what they're going to act like. It doesn't matter what they've said to you in the past, and because your calling is to something much higher. It's to be a representative of the gospel, which is you're going to love them no matter what. There they are, pounding Jesus to the cross. And what's his response? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Tim, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, we talked about love, and then we're going to talk about, you know, this is, again, you said this earlier, and you said it so well. These are things that we go, oh, love, grace, and faith. Yeah, I get it. That's great. How do I get through next week? It's like, well, you just heard the answer, so that's why we're diving a little deeper. But when it comes to grace, we're thinking about giving people something they don't deserve, which oftentimes we reserve that for ourselves, and we want them to give us something we don't deserve. But we're going to give them something next week that they don't deserve. How do we get prepped for that, to actually live out grace next Thursday and then again on Christmas?
Well, it's much the same way we get ourselves prepared mentally with respect to love, and is focusing on the grace of God that he has shown to us through the Lord Jesus. Jesus and through all that comes through him and through the relationship, personal relationship we have with God through that. And as a result, the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Most of the scripture in the Bible, if you go and look at it, focuses on grace as being the grace of God to us. Our responsibility to show grace to others is not spoken to directly except to say we are to be imitators of God, imitators of Christ. So that's where that command and that directive comes from. But one of the things that would be helpful, I think, is to understand some of the things that oppose grace. We'll talk about those in a minute because it's justice and entitlement.
Oh, man. But now you're hitting on some really big words, especially in the American context. Justice and entitlement. Boy, if you want to have unhappy holidays, don't listen when we come back. We'll be right back with Tim Sellers from Peace Point right after this.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire. This is Steve Noble sitting in for my brother from another mother, Dr. Michael Brown, who's in China right now. And let's make sure we're praying for him and lifting him up in prayer as he's over there doing all kinds of great kingdom building, meeting with leaders, meeting with individuals. And you know Michael well enough if you've listened to this show long. The guy's an evangelist, too. So he's going to be sharing Christ with all kinds of folks there. So it'll be exciting. He's actually broadcasting from China this Friday, and he'll be back in country here next week sometime. But tomorrow on the show, Frank Turek, who's just a remarkable, brilliant apologist, great communicator, great author, wrote a great book called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. He's just going to be a joy tomorrow. So all 2 hours with Frank Turek. Make sure you don't miss that. Dr. Brown's website, of course, is askdrbrown.org. My website, maybe it's easier to go to Facebook. Just look for me there under my name, which would be Steve Noble, N-O-B-L-E, or on my website, c2atoday.org, which is the letter C, the number 2, the letter A, today.org. If you're a Twitter person, tweets, you know, all that kind of stuff. No Sacred Cows, which is one of our monikers on the show that I do, which we'll be doing next hour. All over North Carolina, No Sacred Cows. So we're going to talk about this again because this is such an important topic. We're talking about avoiding unhappy holidays. Tim Sellers with Peace Point is here, peacepoint.com, and really how to avoid having unhappy holidays and turning them into something that we can honor God with, bring glory to God, and be a great witness, which we'll end up talking about this as a great gospel opportunity as we get through it. But we talked about love, Tim, and then we started unpacking grace. And then you said something very profound and challenging right when we hit the break, justice and entitlement, which actually oppose grace. How does justice and entitlement start to show up on Thanksgiving Day?
Well, let's focus on justice first because that's the most more palatable of the two. We have a strong sense of justice, most people do in this country, that things are done right, made right, shown to be right or wrong. Many times that motivates us to some very unrighteous words and actions. But the motivation is good. And I know when I start challenging this and suggesting that this is a powerful opposer to grace, there'll be a number of people who will find that very difficult to accept. But it is at times. And we need to be very careful when we're pursuing justice in a particular situation to know how poor we are at balancing that with love and grace. God does it perfectly. We're not equipped to do it like he does. And so we need to be very careful about that. And the other side of that, though, the entitlement side of it.
That's like a third rail kind of word.
It may be, but most people are not going to say, well, I just have a very strong spirit of entitlement in this situation, and that's what's motivating me. But very often, that is what is just one layer, perhaps, or two layers behind the expression of a strong sense of justice, is that this needs to happen not because it's what's good for you or satisfies some higher principle, but is because what I want, what I need to satisfy my need to see sometimes you suffer.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get what you deserve. And so they're very natural responses. But that's the thing about grace. It is completely unnatural. And that's why it is so of God and so not of us, unless we proactively pursue it. It's an unworldly response, and yet it changes things dramatically.
So you go into the Thanksgiving, the day of Thanksgiving next week, which could start at 11 a.m. or 12 noon, whatever, and you got football and all the other stuff going on. If you're walking in there with a sense of entitlement that these people yeah. owe me something, and I'm going to get some justice, and if I don't get any justice this time, I mean, forget it. It's going to be the same. Again, that's just all the total opposite of grace. So we got to walk in there and not really think about ourselves, I guess, at all for the most part.
Well, approaching those opportunities and gatherings with that kind of attitude is the rough equivalent of walking in with a sign on your back like some people have done in the past when we were kids. It says, kick me.
Yeah, man.
Because you're looking for it. We're opening the door instead of putting up the shield and preparing ourselves for it mentally, spiritually. We're going to open the door and say, I'm just going to let you get right into where I'm most sensitive through that. And that's what that attitude of entitlement does. And so we need to recognize that. And the difficult thing, though, is often we are the person who is least likely to see that in ourselves. Thankfully, sometimes someone close to us, our spouse, may be able to see it. And so ask them, do I come across with that kind of a spirit, yeah. with that kind of a perspective, and help them to help you see that before you go into
Well, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, with spouses, with my wife, and we can help each other beforehand, talking this stuff out. Let's plan, let's prepare, and let's talk about these things. Let's search the scriptures together. Let's spend time in God's word together and pray over this. But when we get there, if you see me going down this road, if I see you going down that road, we got to have some kind of signal. Maybe it's a kick under the table. Maybe it's a code word. We've done this with our kids. Mm-hmm. They know the code word Superman. Now, I'm not going to tell you what that means because I don't want to give it away. But they know what that means in certain contexts. If we all of a sudden just say Superman, then we see something happen and we know what the right response should be, the godly response. And so we've talked about love. We talked about grace. Faith, it seems like a little bit more of a squirrely one in this from my perspective. If we're going to try to have really God-honoring holidays this season. How does faith get incorporated into this conversation, Tim?
Well, when we first start talking about faith in this particular context, the place where we need to start first is who are we placing our faith in? Because if it starts with anyone other than our Lord, anyone other than God Himself, then we are, again, set up for failure. If I'm placing my faith in what that person should do or will do when I come in, then I'm going to be disappointed. They already have disappointed me. That's why we're having this conversation. If I'm putting my faith in myself, in my ability, my wisdom, my smooth words, then, again, we are destined for failure. And so by refocusing again and saying, God, I'm going to trust you in this, that whatever happens this weekend, this upcoming Thursday, or over the Christmas holidays, that you're with me, that you're protecting me, that you will guide me, because I can't lean anywhere else. And if I am, then I don't go in with the tools that I have to have in this situation for him to get glory and honor. I will go in with the tools that may turn around and be used on me and cause greater damage, yeah. greater destruction.
Yeah. Then the natural result at that point will be to have unhappy holidays. Forget right. it. The happy holidays thing is gone because you didn't put your faith in the right thing, which is a real challenge. I mean, and sometimes for many people, you need to start your visit 30 minutes before, an hour before, on your knees and praying it and putting all your faith, all your trust in the Lord. Because it's only going to be God's power through the Holy Spirit that gets you through any of this, that you can properly apply love, you can properly apply grace, and you can properly apply faith.
Well, and I want to make sure that we make it clear, we're not at all minimizing the significance, the stress, the strain of some of these situations. Some of them are just completely, they're terrifying for people. It was also terrifying for the disciples in the boat when the storm came up, and Jesus was right there with him. And he said, what did he say to them when they expressed their fear, their terror? He said, you of little faith, yeah. I'm right here with you. And so if we go in with that understanding that he really was serious about the fact that he will never leave us, that he will never let us be hanging out there on the own, waiting for a report of how it went. He's right there with us. And we can lean on that. We can depend on that. And we can know that we can come through this in a way that honors him and glorifies him if we will understand that he is there and put our trust in him.
What about the deceiver's side of this conversation? Because I'm sitting there thinking about fear. I'm sitting there thinking about just they go in there and they're just full of fear. It's always been this way. It's never going to change. I think we kind of have to deal with the fact that there's all kinds of lies out there, which really is contradictory to what we're talking about with faith.
Right. And that's why this preparation is important, because when you get into the heat of the situation, that's not the time to be making decisions. That's not the time to be sorting out what the real lay of the land is, because you are then potentially in the fog of war. And in the fog of war is when decisions, good decisions, can't be made unless there's been, just like our military, training, preparation on that. And yet we're so disinclined to do that, either because we don't want to think about it or we don't know how to begin. And that's one of the reasons why we're here, is to try and help people think about that in advance so that they're prepared.
And the great thing about like the website at peacepoint.com, besides providing the services where you can do mediation and where you can do arbitration, that there's all the resources there that help equip us and train us to have this mindset, because the scriptures don't really give us any wiggle room here. My kids are used to me talking about Romans 12:18, right, and getting into the Psalms and pursuing peace. We really don't have any wiggle room on this issue.
No, there's not. And one of the things that we feel is an opportunity that we have as a ministry is to try and bring together and organize the truth that is in God's Word, because it's throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so we try and bring it in and present it in such a way to where in 15 or 20 minutes, with some of the pathways that we have in the Find Peace section on the website, you can just walk through that your own in the context of your own situation, either what you're in or what you're anticipating. And then that way, train your mind, train your and prepare your heart for what you're going to encounter.
Yeah, if you were going to point everybody listening today, Tim, to one of those particular pathways at the peacepoint.com website between now and next Thanksgiving, what would it be?
It would be finding peace with others.
Wow. Yep, because that's the goal, and that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. Landing on the gospel itself. What an incredible gospel opportunity God's presenting all of us next week. If you have unbelievers in your family or friends, people you're going to see next Thanksgiving. This is Steve Noble with Tim Sellers. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Michael Brown is not in the house. This is Steve Noble, Michael Brown's brother from another mother, filling in for him yesterday and today. Yesterday was great. We talked about, first hour yesterday, talked about fat pastors. Yeah, that was subtle. And then the second hour, we talked about Obamacare. Today, talked about dating, Christian kids and dating, which I am vehemently opposed to. We talked about that in the first hour. And now we're talking about something really critical this time of year, which is try to avoid unhappy holidays, to have happy holidays, to really redeem this time, even though you have stress and trials and tribulations with your own family members. And Tim Sellers with Peace Point is here with me. And peacepoint.com is the website, and just some great tools there for you to prepare for next week. Steps to Peace with Others is the pathway you want to look for right there at the homepage. There's just a resources page at peacepoint.com. It's easy to get to. But also just the conversation we're having now. Now, for those of you that are listening on the Truth Radio Network in Charlotte, you get both hours of Dr. Brown's show. Here's what I want you to do. Sometime between now and 4:06, when my show comes on, Call to Action Radio, I want you to call people, text people, email people, Facebook people, because we all know people, and it's probably, you know, many of you yourselves, that have a lot of, man, next week is not looking too good. The holiday season's happy holidays. You're like, yeah, right, Steve. You don't know what it's like at my house or my parents' house or my brother's house or wherever you're going to be. This is an incredible topic that we need to be handling before next Thursday, which is why I just thank God that Tim's here with me today and Peace Point is here, that we can talk through this to get ourselves prepared to be good ambassadors for the gospel. I was telling Tim this off the air. You know, for my wife and I, for several years, our you know, after we got married, we lived in Columbus, Ohio. Both of our families were back in Chicago before Christ, and even the first couple years after Christ. Every year we went back home for Christmas, we left early because there was a conflict. And instead of being prepared, instead of really understanding love, grace, and faith, we just bailed. We just ran. And in part of that, we missed a huge opportunity as new Christians to really point people to the gospel of reconciliation, because we weren't reconciling that stuff ourselves, and we would just bail. But God has dealt with that. Praise the Lord. But that's really important. So we're going to talk in this last segment, Tim, about the gospel opportunity here, because a lot of people, maybe their Thanksgiving and their Christmas is hard exactly because they've got unbelievers that are going to be sitting at the table next week. So how do we look at this in terms of a gospel opportunity?
Well, I think understandably the inclination we have is to look at how we approach this and have a very narrow focus, focus on how it impacts us, how it impacts our family, how it impacts the extended family with whom we're going to have contact. God's perspective is always so much bigger than that because he is working through all of this. These things that we've talked about, these essentials, these peacemaking essentials of love, grace, and faith that we focused on today are not just for our good. They're for the good of the kingdom, for the growth of the kingdom. Because when we live these things out, God's love flows through us. God's grace is shown through us. Our faith in God becomes evident because we're not relying on the things that we're doing things that don't make sense. Amen. From the world's point of view. Then people notice and people inquire and they say, "You are different. Why are you different?" And they may not even articulate that, but they're asking that question. And by our persistent pursuit of these things, people look deeper into the spiritual issues in their life and the spiritual needs in their life. The scripture is very clear in John 17 when Jesus is in the midst of that prayer, just before he goes to the cross, he's talking about unity being the key thing that convinces a watching world that he is who he says he is. We sometimes want to look at other places, but he says, hey, unity's where it starts.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's a shocking thing. I was just thinking about this as you were unfolding that for a lot of folks, and I think my wife and I could certainly be guilty of this, it was our allegiance to Christ, though not handled in the right way, that very well could have been the dividing line. That hey, we're Christians, but we're acting in a certain way. So our Christianity before is what caused strife, if you will. But now we're talking about an opportunity for our Christianity to actually bring peace and to point people to the gospel.
Well, I'm thankful that as I look forward to the upcoming holidays this year, this particular year, I personally am not facing that. I have in the past with respect to family members.
Yeah.
And with similar motivations that go back to, and perhaps this is why I'm so keen on those two things that oppose grace, that sense of justice, where I took positions, where I fostered attitudes and I spoke words that were hurtful and not healing out of what I believed was a sense of justice that ignored the things we're talking about today. But that's how we learn. And the fantastic thing about the grace of God is that he shows us these things through these experiences. We have a chance to begin doing the right thing that glorifies him and that changes things.
Well, it always reminds me, there's a saying that I like to use on this topic. I'm so glad you put that into words like that, Tim, because in God's economy, there's no waste. It's not the government. No. It's not my home budget. In God's economy, there's absolutely no waste. So friends, even though you've had maybe you've had 25 years of nightmare Thanksgivings and nightmare Christmases, God, ready, willing, and able to use all of that to make next Thursday and this Christmas a whole new thing. It's like Lazarus coming out of the grave. And Jesus is saying, "Lazarus, come out of there."
And he wants to do that.
He wants to do it.
Because that's what shows everyone that he's in the house.
Amen.
And not just us.
That's why he left them there for 4 days. Right. So that the name of Christ would be glorified. Right. And so we look at this next week on Thursday as an incredible opportunity, not only for personal growth and growth of our families, but to really bring glory to God and to show people what the gospel is all about.
And something truly to be thankful for at that point in time.
Man, no kidding. Yeah. No kidding. Have you seen... Is the holiday season, do you see like an uptick in traffic to peacepoint.com and phone calls and stuff?
There is an uptick in traffic, and it's not just with us. When you start reading just any set of statistics about the level of depression, the depths that people go to, how deep into darkness they go into the holidays, it's because it brings into sharp focus these relationships that are not right, relationships that have been broken, estrangements that have not been dealt with, hurts that have not been healed. And they come into such bright focus because as we're walking down the street, we're seeing around us evidence that it seems everybody else is in great shape.
Oh, man.
And I'm in the pit. And so it highlights it. It's not that it's not there at other times, but it just brings it so much into focus and into the light that it can be particularly painful. And yet that's also the time where it's on the forefront of our minds and we have the opportunity to deal with it most directly.
Yeah. And it's good to remember in the scriptures, this is made perfectly clear over and over again, both in the Old and the New Testament, It's in those deepest, darkest places. It's down in the valley, where sometimes that's where God's just doing remarkable work. And so we, instead of looking at next Thursday or this Christmas as another thing to survive, it could very well be, because we know it's God's will, that this should be a time for you as a follower of Christ to be healed yourself, but then to just thrive as he begins to work in and through you. And actually, even the people that you're thinking about right now that are kind of rubbing you wrong, they're not rubbing him wrong. He loves them. And
well,
he died for them.
And when you were mentioning earlier about some of the deceptions that we get into, this message that nothing can be done about this, it can't be fixed, we need to remember and sometimes be reminded that our God is a God that focuses on redemption.
Amen.
Our God is a God that focuses on restoration. All those rewords, which means, as a precondition, we've gotten to a place where not good for us.
That's exactly
He brings
right.
us back.
That's exactly right. Praise the Lord for that. What a great way to end our conversation on how to have happy holidays. Tim Sellers with Peace Point, thank you so much for being here. It's peacepoint.com, friends, peacepoint.com. Get yourself ready to reflect the Lord next week and see healing coming into your family.